Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norman. I'm guessing you are well. I hope you get this message. I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents took me to a turkey farm. It was a couple of weeks before the Thanksgiving holiday. At the farm, you could walk around and select the turkey that your mom would cook for your family holiday gathering. Norm, while I walked around looking for just the right turkey, one of the birds walked up to me and it stood between my legs. I thought the turkey was being bullied and that it was looking for me to protect it from the other turkeys. But I was wrong. While the turkey stood between my legs, its head suddenly swung over. It was a hinged head. While the turkey head was flipped over, a large 2-inch-wide rubber dick rose out the turkey neck. The rubber dick that came out of the turkey neck was 12 inches long, and it was being pushed upward by a metal rod powered by a hydraulic piston from within the body of the turkey. Eventually, the metal rod jammed the 2-inch-wide by 12-inch-long rubber dildo into my hungry tight pussy. The dick head portion of the rubber dildo was covered with Teflon to make the penetration into my young cunt easier. I heard the crotch of my pants, and panties make a tearing sound as the rubber schlong bore its way into my wet, throbbing fuckhole. I was taking the dick. I was a virgin, for God's sake. Norm, as I stood there amongst thousands of turkeys, I came and I moaned. And I moaned and I came. And just as quickly as it began, the enormous dildo was suddenly withdrawn from my dripping minge. I watched as the dick retracted itself back into the body of the turkey. And then the turkey's head flipped back, and it locked itself into its normal position and it walked away. Someone at the farm controlled that turkey remotely. But how? Why? A worker at the turkey farm that was shoveling shit into 5-gallon buckets saw what had happened to me. He walked over to me while I was still reeling in the afterglow of multiple orgasms, and he said,
"One time I was standing in a line with my father at a honey-baked ham store. I was only 7. Thanksgiving was 2 weeks away. I was excited. My father promised to take me to McDonald's after we got the honey-baked ham. Holidays were a big deal at my house. While I was standing in line, someone shoved an enormous dick into my mouth. It looked like the dick was coming out of the man's ass standing in front of me, but that's impossible. A man's dick can't come out of his ass. The guy standing in front of me was wearing his clothes backwards. It looked like he was standing in line waiting for a honey-baked ham like everybody else, but he was actually facing me and my father. The dude made me blow him, and my dad never suspected a thing until a gallon of jism was pumped into my mouth. My father thought I had an infected tooth. The bastard was wearing a full head mask that had hair that made it look like you were looking at the back of his head, but in actuality, you were looking at his face. I was really short then. I was a kid, for Christ's sake. I sucked on a ham in a ham store. I've had intimacy issues ever since. Now I shovel turkey shit into metal buckets. It was a bad scene, man."
Norm, I am telling this holiday story in the hopes that it helps your female listeners. Girls, if you go to a turkey farm to pick out this year's Thanksgiving Day turkey, be careful as you walk amongst the turkeys. You could take an arm-sized rubber schlong to your hairy skunk. I did. Norm, my torso nerve endings shut down from the intense pussy pounding I took, and I had to relearn how to walk again. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to finger my clitoris and fondle my tits while I smoke a handful of high-grade Michigan-grown weed. Of course, I'll be doing all of this while I lie atop my dead grandmother's cum, shit and nicotine-stained old mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
So I'm in bed. I'm in bed. It's 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. It doesn't really matter what time it is. There is no time clock for Norm Augustinus, and why is that? Billion years of drugs, a billion years of free thought, a billion years of being myself, all kinds of things that I am privy to because I live outside the ribbon. Whatever I think, whatever I believe, whatever I want to do, I make happen because I'm in control of me, not some bull-headed motherfucker that's in the office, in the back room, or in the factory. I'm in charge of me. It's like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And I'm in the bed, my bed, and I'm thinking about the Polaris Comet I bought. The 64 Polaris Comet, it's a snowmobile or a snow machine. I don't know what you call it, wherever you're from. I think it was the LA 600. It was a snowmobile that came out then. Snow machine, snowmobile. Only 400 were made. 350 or 300 were recalled and brought back. The other 50 disappeared into the abyss of Americana. It were out there. And I got this thing from a woman who wants to ball me, wants to hump me, drill me, whatever you want to say. Strap on dildos, fingering, smelling the fingers. I was always big on smelling cunts, and I hurt myself a long time ago on that. That's an entirely different recording. Never want to smell that area directly. You'll never go back to it again. You find yourself sitting on a curb somewhere in front of a party store, holding onto a can of Mountain Dew, and just trying to escape everything once you smell that stench. It's a stench of something pulling you in, and you know it, and you're not going to be able to get out of it. So I'm in bed, and I'm thinking about the Polaris Comet, the LA 600. And only 400 were made. I told you 50 ended up left into the abyss of Americana. Nobody knows where they are, but I got one for free several weeks back, a month or two back. A woman who wanted to drill me and do all kinds of things that people do, adults do, she said, you can have that. As soon as I saw it, I knew what it was, a Polaris Comet. They're rare. They're gone. If you can restore this thing, you've got a real valuable machine because they're so gone. It was such a flop at that time. It was made by a person, had an engine in it that was made by these people, made steam engines. And that's a real connection to the old days, to a change in America, so it makes it very valuable. The old steam engine to the mechanical engine and all that. And it didn't work out for the Polaris company that made this Comet. And there's only 50 left. She said, you can have that. Of course I took it. They're very valuable. Now, why was it a flop? I'm thinking of this while I'm in bed. And while I'm in bed, I got my ball sack out. I got my 15.5-pound dick out, and I've got a syringe out. And I'm injecting my ball sack with melted Luden's cough drops, cherry-flavored, and I'm putting it into my ball sack, and I'm thinking about the Polaris Comet. Why was it such a flop? This is what I'm thinking. You know, your mind thinks all over as you're sitting somewhere, trying to keep you company, trying to fool you into believing you have a purpose, a worth, a value, and you really don't. Just another E pluribus unum, one of fucking unending on many. And I'm injecting this into my ball sack. And why did it fail? Why did it become so possibly so very valuable if you can bring this thing back? Because it had a 6-horsepower engine. Man, there's nobody with a 6-horsepower engine in a snowmobile. Nobody wants to go 6 miles an hour in a snow machine. Ever. They don't want that. Doesn't exist. A 6-horsepower engine? So it flopped. They put a tiny engine in it, and it flopped. It was a piece of junk. But what they did find out that they didn't study, I mean, that they didn't publish, was it had a 1/2-inch steel frame all the way around it. The steel frame, which isn't made anymore. Today, fucking cars are in less than 1/8 of an inch, more like 1/16 of an inch or more, 3/16 of an inch of stamped sheet metal of bodies that don't even really have frames. And this thing had an actual steel frame, man. So when you ran it, when you ran the 64 Polaris Comet, it vibrated the whole machine. And what people found out was this. Say you got a 16-year-old bitch down the street, and she's got giant jugs, and it snowed out, man. It's getting near Christmas, heavy snow. You wanted her. She wasn't quite sold on you. But as you know, if you can start white rubbing the pussy, she doesn't care what you are. You could be a bull-headed motherfucker singing Susu Studio. You could be that fucker. You could be bald and dumb. And it didn't matter. Once her cunt was turned on, once you could start stroking her cunt or vibrating it, you had her. And she was in your complete control. And they found this out. They found out that the seat vibrated so badly, it was like a fucking dildo on wheels, a dildo on skis with a 6-horsepower engine. And you could say stupid stuff like this with her. She's in the back of the snowmobile sitting there. She's rubbing her pussy on the seat. She's pushing herself against you. You tell her to hold on. This could be kind of out of control. Her tits are against you. So all the things that make her want to fuck are touching you. Her tit nipples, her pussy's within radius, her stomach, her thighs are all bent up. When she sits, when a woman sits, their asshole opens up and their cunt spreads. Well, you practically got her in a bag, but you're too dumb to know it. But on this machine, you'd point to like an apple tree. Look at those apples on that tree, Madison. She says, yeah, it's winter. Isn't that cute the way they're still there? They're probably frozen. And you point to it and you start to gun the engine on a 6-horsepower LA600 and it vibrates the fuck out of their cunt. And before you know it, you're fucking under that tree, man. Fucking under the tree because she's been so vibrated. They're all physical. They're only this. They react on emotion and physical. That's it. There is no real brain power. It sounds horrible to say that. You might say, that sounds like a thing like a fucking misogynist would say. No, it's not. Thoughts, just their feelings, and just emotion. Feelings and emotion, feelings. Once that pussy started vibrating on the 1964 Polaris Comet, you were fucking. The 50 people that kept the thing got more pussy than anybody in the goddamn United States during 1964. From 64 to 65, somewhere late 65, they kept getting goddamn pussy. No one could understand it. How come Clem's getting so much pussy? Look how ugly he is. He lives in shit. Look at him. He's got nothing. He's got a Polaris Comet in the front yard. No one wants that piece of shit. Look at his fucking 58 Dart. No one wanted that piece of shit. How's he get so much pussy? Because he's got the Polaris Comet, because it vibrates the shit out of a chick's pussy. That was the only redeeming thing with regards to the snow machine, this snowmobile. You could take him anywhere. Look at that old structure out there in the woods. Let's go take a look at it. And then you gun it, man. 6 horsepower, rattling the shit out of a steel frame, rattling her cunt from here to high heaven. And when she gets her eyes are dilated, she's in another fucking world. She's in a trance. Her nipples are rock hard. She shit herself in the front of her panties. You're soaking goddamn wet and you were into fuck city. That's all you were going to do now because you had the Polaris Comet. And I know this to be true. I was thinking this thing through. I do all my heavy thinking, all of it, when I'm in bed with my 15.5-pound cock in my hand, and it's the truth. I'm in bed with my 15.5-pound cock, I'm thinking about the Polaris Comet, and I'm thinking about the cough syrup, the Luden's cherry discs, or the cherry, you suck on them, lozenges, and I'm thinking about melting, that I melted that, put it in a syringe, you have to do it with fire, and I had fire handy because I got my old canteen with me that had a spoon on it when I was in the Royal Rangers, and that spoon I used to melt the heroin that I was going to do next after injecting my ball sack. And why would you inject your ball sack with a melted cherries Luden cough drop? Because it melts perfectly with the jism. There's your jism. Now it's cherry flavored. It's not only cherry flavored, but it's going to help her voice. It's going to help her throat when she's sucking your big fucking cock, isn't it? You're giving her consideration. You're showing her all kinds of consideration. You don't want her having a sore throat when she's done sucking your cock. I can't tell you how many women I know that's had an operation in her neck because they got that cancer of the fucking box in there because they suck so much cock. They didn't think there was a price to pay. They didn't believe they'd ever age. They thought they'd have wrinkled cream and everything forever. If wrinkled cream really fucking worked, it'd be $1 million a jar. You didn't see anybody who'd ever look old. It doesn't work. That's why every bitch looks so fucking old. It'd be $1 million a jar and there'd still be a long line in it. So you use Luden's cough drops, you melt them cherry flavored because you want to soften up their voice. You want to freshen their voice, keep her box going as she's in bed while she's going to fuck you. You don't want some old bag of shit, some old tired bag of shit with an atrophying cunt and no juice down there, no fucking mojo, whatever you want to call it. You don't want that. When you're fucking, you want her to be able to moan out beautiful sounds, ahs and ohs and umps and inks and all kinds of sounds. So you're helping her by keeping her voice box all lubed up as she blows you, because when you blow your jism, you've just covered the inside of her throat, her voice box, and all the other stuff there, the cords, the bands, the muscles, with all this cough drop medicine, and it's all making it so soothing, so lozenging, and so creamy, and isn't that nice? How do you like it? And plus, they like cherry-flavored stuff. They like things that look red. What is a woman's number one thing that she'll see most of her life? What is it? The one thing she'll consistently see most of her life is what? The color red. And why will she see the color red? Because that's all she bleeds out her big goddamn monster hole down there is red for I don't know how many years, from 14 to 45. That's a lot of years. So red becomes the favorite color of the woman, even if she doesn't believe it. That's her favorite color. Always laugh at chicks. I say, what's your favorite color? Well, I like green. You know, green peace and green things and plants and stuff and plants in the ocean. She doesn't like green. She likes red.
She's had gobs and gobs of blood in her panties with a fucking 12-pack of eggs in her cunt that's come out there during that period, and her number one flag fucking color is red. You have to know that, and you have to understand it. You could get a chick easy. When I was younger, when I went to university and went to a couple of them, when I went to university, I would deliberately put red lozenges in my mouth, capsules that would break. Chicks run to that if you're unconscious and she sees red coming out of you. You cut your arm, maybe it's fake, you put the red dye there or whatever you're using. She'll run to you because a red means what? Red means discomfort. It means pain. It means cramps. It means getting rid of an egg that didn't find the fucking semen. All this have a deep sense of meaning to a bitch. So if you want to get a bitch, you attract her attention with red. Now you'll understand this part. What do food companies use? Their signs are always big and red. Why? Because the chick buys everything. The chick decides everything. When she sees red, you've got her automatic attention because of her period and the gallons upon gallons upon gallons of blood that she has seen drip out of her pussy day after day after day, 7-8 days of fucking every month for fucking years, man. It never ends. To a man, that would kill us. I couldn't keep doing that. I couldn't keep bleeding out looking at that. The odors, the smell, the pads, the fucking tampons, the scents, the fucking... I couldn't do any of that. That would be it to me. I'd pull the plug on myself right there. What's that thing I said? There comes a slim, get ready to pull a pin. And I mean, she's probably got two shotguns under that black outfit, and you got to get ready to pull a pin, man, to save yourself. I know what I'm talking about. I lived through fucking Vietnam. I'm still here, man. Here comes a slim, pull a pin. And that means you got the grenade, man. She's got two shotguns. She's got two fucking automatic weapons under there, two military-style weapons under her black outfit that she uses to draw in. I don't know what, man. Only thing I can tell you about black outfits is it retains heat. Now, why do the slims want to retain heat? Tell me religion and all that other shit, Allah and all that stuff. Why do the slims want to be so fucking hot in the summer? You got to wonder about that. Is there something to that? Why do they want to be so goddamn hot? Whereas Americans and shit, we want to be cool and stuff. Why are they wearing black all the time to draw heat in? Is there something more to these people that they got to have a higher temperature, higher exterior body temperature than we do? It's something to look in, isn't it? Here comes a slim, pull the pin. So I'm thinking about all this stuff. Man, I'm thinking about all this stuff. I'm thinking about the fucking 64 Polaris comment. I'm thinking about all of this stuff, the injecting my ball sack, the heroin and all that stuff I've got on there. And I'm thinking about this shit. But my number one thing I'm thinking about, I'm also thinking about the feral pumpkins growing in the woods. I've got to get to that. That's one of my top thoughts. The feral pumpkins, I'd say number three or four thought that the feral pumpkins that I saw growing in the woods with the drone that I use. Feral pumpkins growing in the woods means there was a house there once, maybe 100, 200 years ago. That should stop you in your tracks right now. On those grounds was a good-looking, blonde, Finnish woman. She was there. They were all over Michigan. There she was in her log cabin. You know how fucking horny she was? She had to die, man. It was awful. She died. You know how much fucking I could have got in with something like that, or how much fucking you could have got in? The scum that you're dating now ain't nothing compared to her. There she was out in her log cabin cooking fish on a fire, tending to her fucking crops. She's got her beautiful outfit on. I don't know what it is, and her hat's on her head. Husband's out looking for a deer. There she was. That was purity, man. Not the fucking slag that you're looking at now that you're taking on for a $100 goddamn meal. How much is the bill? No problem, I can do that. Can't wait to get in her cunt, huh? It's really worth it. There's only been 1,000 dicks in that cunt, and you're spending $100 on a meal? No way, man. There's something wrong. Chicks want me to fuck them. I don't have to pay nothing. They show up at my door. They have this special knock, a light knock. I've told women this a lot. Don't beat on my door because I will come to the door with a gun or I'll just start shooting. I just got a Mac-11 on top of the Luger I have and on top of other things I have, the modified Glock with a switch. I think it's called a Glock switch, 1,000 rounds. You come to my door if you're a chick and you just lightly knock. You hear this? I know that's fucking time. You come to my house and start beating on the door. I know it's the feds or some shit. I know it's the fucking government in some way. I done something wrong, something I said in the land of free speech where it really doesn't exist. There is no fucking free speech. I found this out a million times. You're so lucky to be here right now. Because eventually your correspondent will probably be arrested. Not because I say such inflammatory things. I had a girl write me and said, I think your piece is, what you do is, What was the word she said? She said a horrible word that never would work with me. I can't remember what the word is. It's not appropriate. That's what she said. Not appropriate. But what she is appropriate? An imbecile that has to use Grammarly to do a sentence. An imbecile that now has to use AI to make herself look smart in any fucking meeting and she doesn't know a goddamn thing. This is the brain. This is why women adopted this thing so much, this fucking phone, iPhone, because where people are weak, where their weakness lies is the tool that will replace it. We have a bad memory. We can't remember moments or images. We made the camera. You've got no fucking mind. We made this thing. You can pull up and get an answer right away, Henry Ford once said. He was in court. They tried to prove that he was dumb. And he said, I can push a button on my desk at any moment and get the answer. This is what bitches are doing. They don't know nothing, man. They're exposing themselves when they get the answer there. I'm watching commercials on TV. Got an old television with a tube and a walnut box on it. Really kind of beautiful. And it shows them going to this thing for answers when they're in a meeting in corporation to look good. And they're getting the answer right away. They're so goddamn stupid, but they're not too stupid to find out how to get it to make you look stupider. So I'm thinking of all these things. The feral pumpkins in the woods means there was a house there. There was a family. There was a pure chick there with her husband. They were fucking and sucking. They were eating deer meat. She was as pure as, like, whatever they say. What's the phrase? A stereotypical phrase. Driven snow. She was like that. And there she was. And I see feral pumpkin. I think there is a plot of land out there that's pure. There is a lot of plot of land out there that was the perimeter of it was protected by God, by a Lord, by something greater. And they believed in it with all their heart. And I rushed to that plot of land and I lay on that land on my back and I do like snow, fucking snow angels and all kinds of stuff like that. I hold the dirt in my hands because there it is. There's kind of a special area. You can't find that nowhere. Today, all you find is rubbers everywhere and cum loads blown all over the fucking place. Chicks are so hard to get. The rubbers are there. DNA is taking big dick and car horking sounds. Fucking Kiss radio and the cassette player and the 8-track player. This is what they're doing today. So while I'm thinking of all that stuff, this shit's all going through my mind. The one thing, the number one thing in my mind is the message I got from Running Flaps. I talked about this in the last recording. Running Flaps is an actual Apache Indian. And I'm talking to telling you the truth. You say, how can an Apache Indian be there? I'm not talking about some civilized slut, some homogenized idiot here pretending to be an Indian. I'm telling you about a real Indian. She came from, and her whole tribe came from, evolved from, when they were out west, when they were being persecuted by white bitches and wagons, running as fast as they can, driving horses dead to get to San Francisco to get a plot of land on the ocean for a dollar. They were getting out there. These Indians were going east. And they came here to Michigan because why? Because we got 160 million acres of goddamn dense forest. So dense you can't even believe it. I just absolutely adore it. And I'm hoping that the Slims don't attack us, don't come in on here. What's going to happen is this. It's going to be Chaldeans and blacks and whites. We're going to be attacking the Slims. We'll show them what the fuck's going on, won't we? We sure will, man. They got another thing coming, don't they? And they're going to be real surprised, man. So the Indians came out from the west and they moved here to the east. And Running Flaps, that's her name. That's the name that the Apaches gave her here. Running Flaps is because her flaps of her labia, her cunt lips, are so big. They call her flaps, like a flapjack. And she explained this to me with pictures and shit, using it on the sand with a stick. Her cunt lips, the labias, are like a half a pancake cut in half. I'm not talking a silver dollar or any of those other pancakes. I'm talking big fucking flapjacks. Her cunt lips are so big that they flap around her fucking cunt when she's running to get game and stuff, when she's killed a deer, when she's knocked a squirrel out with a fucking rock at 50 feet, when she's done stuff like that, when she's dived into the rivers, and we have many of them up here in the woods, when she's dived into the river to get two fucking salmon out of the water, and she comes out and there's two salmons, one in each hand in her hand, when she comes out like that, and that's the kind of thing she can do. That's running flaps. I mean, big, flappy, cunt lips. And she's extremely skilled as an Apache Indian, and I met her one day in the woods when I was out in the woods. She's been a great friend. Now, she can appear at any time and anywhere. Running Flaps has the gift of an Apache Indian. You could be standing in your fucking yard and there couldn't be a tree in it. And suddenly an Apache is standing directly behind you, cutting your throat. I mean, you gotta love that. They're standing right behind you and they're scalping your bitch for her pussy. The pussy scalps, they're extremely valuable. You're standing next to your old lady. She's standing next to you. You're surveying your land. And before she even knows it, her pussy scalp has been scalped a pubic mound because the Indian found such value in it. And maybe just as much value as I find in it. If you don't see value in old pussy scalps that have been scalped off a fucking white Caucasian swat who wanted everything, if you don't see value in that, of course, they didn't all want everything. Some of them were pure, like I said. And if you didn't want that, then you're nuts. There they are. They have that ability of stealth and shit. I was once working, honest to God, on my self-burial system. Now I have a self-burial system in the backyard. You're going to say, what is that? The self-burial system is a hole. And above the hole is dirt, but it's inside of a tree that's made, it's not a real tree, it looks like a tree, but up above the tree that look like branches is about a half a ton of soil, topsoil. In that soil are seeds for flowers and grass and other things. But above the hole that's dug into the ground is a tree, it's not a real tree, and the branches actually open up and they drop the soil. Now when I think I'm at the end of my life, I can go to my self-burial system, I can lay there, I can activate the self-burial system, I'm already in the grave, and the tree will open up, the panel will open up, and all that half a ton of dirt that's got all the seeds and shit will fill the hole up that I'm inside. I'll never be seen from again. Now, it's made to disintegrate over time, the trees. It disintegrates, it doesn't look like anything, and all the dirt and the seeds, they start seeding, and there's plants and grass and all kinds of greens above the hole that I just got buried in. I was working on that, my self-burial system. It was incredible. And I accidentally dropped some of their dirt on myself and I couldn't free myself. Sure as shit, if this Apache, one of the best looking women I've ever seen, she shows up and she helps me get out of this hole. The most gorgeous looking Indian you can ever imagine. Not like the scum or whatever you're dating, some old dried up fucking hag or whatever she is. Some old whore who's on the edge for lesbianism or being straight for any kind of attention she can get. Big bored out, stretched out cunt. Big bored out, stretched out asshole. I mean, all products have a time cycle. And that's what most of these bitches are. They also think they're way better looking than they are. You take off their fucking makeup and you'll be clubbing them in the fucking head in your garage one day at 4 a.m. when you see what you've really gotten trapped into. Running Flap showed up. She helped me out of the hole. I didn't even see her. I didn't hear her. I didn't know nothing. She just appeared like she materialized. That's the gift of an Apache. She was able to pull me out of my self-burial system, which I could have died in. And she was able to pull me out. Now, eventually, if I do disappear, if you never hear from me again, just assume I've pulled the handle on the self-burial system, and I'm in my backyard, and there's seeds growing all over me. No one knows where it is, and I'm long gone, and I'm dead, and I'm buried in my self-burial system. That's only if that ever happens. Right now, my need to tend to you. Right now, your needs are far bigger than my needs, and I have to be there to help you through this shit, to understand what's coming your way, especially the onslaught of Slims. Slims are coming your way. They're going to convert you unless you have a mind like me. They can't convert minds like ours. They're not going to be able to do that because why? Because we're in our own army. We're in our own army, man, and I'm reaching out. 10,000 or more downloads of this recording every goddamn week, which I can't understand. I fucking record this on a cassette player, and then I play the cassette player back into a cheap microphone into an MP3 format. I can't be fucking tied down with some electronic shit. Bunch of dumb stuff like that. Fucking recorders and stuff were awesome. Magnetic tapes magnetic tapes can actually hear the other world. It can pick up voices and people's sounds and dead people and all kinds of things that are built into the magnetic tape. Look it up. What can ones and zeros do? It can't pick nothing up. A one and zero was spooky. What's a zero? It's a woman's cunt hole. It's a big flopping hole. What's the one? It's a dick. Again, they're beating away at you through the woman's pussy trying to control you, man. Ones and zeros, digital format. There's the one, that's the dick. There's the round circle, that's their fucking cunt. Drive it in there and see what happens. Everything will change. Except not a goddamn thing changes, does it? Nothing. So I hear from Running Flaps. Running Flaps because of her big flaps and her labia, big cunt lips. Running Flaps, while I'm working at the sink one day, I see smoke signals. This is how she contacts me. I talked about that in the last recording. Running Flaps contacts me through smoke signals, and I know smoke signals because while I was fucking her and eating her out and shit, we would make smoke signals while we were smoking dope with the zigzag rolling papers in a pot, 97% THC. That's what I use, pecaning paralyzer. You can only grow it in Michigan. It's the strongest pot in the world. If you want to get wasted, that's what you smoke, and you open up a whole new set of doors that you never thought were possible. Instead of that commercialized shit you get at dispensaries, man. With real fucking pot, you might be smoking insects. You might be smoking ants. Maybe there's some spiders in there. They can't do that at these dispensaries. They're all shit. They're all commercial grade nonsense. It's not what I want or what you want, is it? So Running Flaps contacts me with smoke signals. And when I decode the smoke signals, she trained me while we were smoking dope, sitting in front of a fire. Legs were spread, her pussy was aimed at me. That's real incentive. That's living completely free, not overwhelmed with the thought of fucking bills and unable to get the bills or repair the car. That's real freedom. The cunt was aimed at me. The legs were spread out like a megaphone. And then the odors and the look and the visions and the vibes all come at you while you're sitting there. And you think, fucking A, man, there's nothing more than this. Look at the little golden hairs on her fucking thighs. And what's the purpose of them? They catch wind. When they catch wind, they move the little hairs and they flutter the stink and the whole experience towards you like a megaphone, like a triangle aimed at you, something like that. A V aimed at you and pointing all this stuff out like a fucking funnel. So Running Flap sends me a message and she says, I know where there's an ancient Indian arrow. An ancient Indian arrow. When I see this, I start shaking. When I see this, I start thinking it's over for me. This is a new life. This is a new beginning. I'm going to the glory days. I'm now going above and beyond what I ever hoped. It's now going to pay off for me. Payday, pay dirt. Here it is now. Never have to work again. All that shit, you start thinking of that. What she said in her smoke signals was this. And they were loving smoke signals. Did you know there's a difference? Smoke signals are one thing, but when there's love behind the smoke signal, they're a little bit more flowery. They're a little bit more fluffier. They're a little bit more shapely. You can still make out what it means, but they're a little bit more fluffier and shapelier. Like, say there's this Comanche out there, and he's sending something to kill somebody. They're not fluffy and stuff. They're down to business. They're tight circles and all that. These were fluffy circles because Running Flaps and I have gotten it on. Running Flaps and I I've eaten her out. She's blown me. We've done 69ing. Everything you could possibly imagine, it's available, and even maybe more. I don't really know. There was love in these smoke signals, and the smoke signals told me what? It said this, that there was a fully intact arrowhead, a wood arrowhead. You know what an Indian arrowhead is worth? I'm talking about, let's go back 300 or 500 years. And they were shooting arrows and shit. They're shooting antelopes. They're shooting deers. They're shooting bears with these arrows. Well, they're all gone now. Most of them are gone. But say one doofus, and I'm sure there was a lot of doofuses, Indians, they shot the arrow. The entire arrow, not just the head. They shot it at a bear. They shot it at a huge fucking buck with 19, 22-point buck that was going to feed him for a week or whatever it would feed him for. He missed the thing. He missed this 19-point, 20-point buck, and the arrow went into a tree. There it sits. There it sits for years upon years upon years, 100 years, 150 years, 180 years. There it is. And when I say arrowhead, I'm talking a fully intact arrow, wood feather fletching, all that, arrowhead. Drove there, drove into the chucking tree a million years ago. They call it fletching, the arrowhead, the fletching. It's got a special graphite tip on it and all kinds of stuff, rock tip. It's invaluable. It's priceless. Everybody would want it. It'd be in every museum, would be bidding to get it. It would be worth millions and millions of dollars, especially if the tribe that shot it, especially if the unique colors on the arrow were significant and they meant what tribe it was. The history alone behind it would be worth a fortune, and that would mean payday for me. That would mean the glory days were here. Happy days are here again. I'd be singing that song and shit with my Superman cape out and my cock out, driving around on my Argo Frontier. Nothing would matter to me anymore because I wouldn't have to follow the rigors, the fucking confines of fucking living in this world, in this country, would I? Happy days are here again. My ship would come fucking in. So she says, there's an Indian arrowhead, the whole arrow. The whole thing, feather fletching, the arrowhead, all of it's there. Actual feather fletching from an animal that died a billion years ago. Now, I've always believed, and I've always hold on to this opinion, this idea that, okay, great, they say that all the Indian arrows are all gone. There's no chance of finding one. There's no chance of getting one in a tree. They've done rotted out. Now, the arrowhead could be in the tree. They found that when trees came down or storms happened. It could be stuck in a tree. It's just a rock arrowhead. It could be that. But the arrow, the rest of the arrow, the whole thing, the fletching, the feather fletching, it's all fucking gone, rotted away long ago. But that's not how Michigan works. Michigan has extremely mineralized rains. So much forest, so much canopy, that it changes the dynamics of rain. Then we have high heat. Then we have cold weather. Then we have high heat again. Then we have moisture again. All of those things are conducive of causing something to turn into a fossil, to fossilize something. I mean, they found fossilized bodies of old Indians in Michigan. They found the bodies, fossilized partial bodies, actually fossilized and shit, and they're holding on to stuff. They're fossilized thanks to the weather, the minerals, the heat, the cold, the rain. And I've always held on to that idea, that premise, that there's going to be an ancient arrow from an Indian. He's long dead, and it's going to be in a tree in Michigan because we were completely from top to bottom occupied by Indians of all types, six or five tribes, five or six or seven different tribes. The Apache became very prevalent when they left the Old West because of the chicks that were going out the Old West. Hurry up, get out there, get out there, get out there, bouncing around our fucking wagon seat, coming again and again and again, fucking in the back of the fucking wagon with the overhead on it. You ever see the wagons and they got cloth over it and you go back there? I mean, they were really just like fucking hippies, weren't they? Bouncing around, fucking blowing, just going out to some place that doesn't exist. They're positive something's out there. As soon as they get there, the money will start rolling. But that never happened for any of them. It was hard as shit. And most of them fucking died. Get an acre of land, 10 fucking acres, and a mule or something. I think that's what draw them out here. Can you imagine a mule and 10 acres drawing a bitch in today? She doesn't want a goddamn mule. She doesn't want the 10 acres unless it's in L.A. by Rodeo Drive. Now she wants the 10 acres. She's not going to go anywhere fucking like that, is she? Here's your mule, bitch. Get out there and start fucking working the land, slut. They don't do it. They ain't never going to do it, are they? They're going to make you do it, motherfucker. Hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, till you're fucking spent. Then when you're spent, she's using your Social Security, and she's fucking somebody else on the money in the house that you bought. Fucking someone else. That's what they are. They can't love you, motherfucker. They could never love you. They can't love you like I can. I guess I got to better watch that out. I don't sound like David Koresh or some shit like that. So, Running Flaps puts out the goddamn signals and tells me there's an arrow, an actual arrow. She found it. She knows where it is. Now, she's an Apache Indian. Now, what happened to the other Indians, you know this or not, in Michigan, the Apaches came in from the east, and they took out all the other Indians. You just didn't want to mess with an Apache. I mean, they were very a brutal, strong force to reckon with, and everybody died out. And she's still here, a genuine Apache. When I talk about her thighs, they're unbelievable. If she stood in front of you and her legs were spread and you held onto her thighs, it would be like you were encountering God. It would be like that somehow this was the area that you go into a cave and there it is. There's the monument. There's the fucking the thing you stand on. And it's those legs are there. It's like that. It's so powerful, so moving. And then you look up and you start crying because you see these two prestigious mountains filled with history that are also known as her tits. You're looking up there and you think, my God, it doesn't matter anymore what I am or what I'm ever going to be. I don't give a shit about being somebody and trying to impress people. Why would you want someone to like you anyways? Big dummies all over and they're liking you, revering you, falling all over if you're a so-called celebrity here. You don't even know them and they don't know you. They wouldn't like me if they knew me for real. I've killed people. And it's not a joke. I might kill you. So, she tells me about the arrow, and I'm excited. I can't wait to go. She tells me where the coordinates are. Now, she talks about coordinates different. She doesn't use latitude and longitude and all the bullshit we use today, fucking radials and all kinds of stuff like that, beams and satellites. She just tells me where it is from the training she has given me. Now I'm empowered. Now it's as good as in the bank. I'm going to be in all kinds of covers. This is what I'm thinking. I'm going to be in all these covers, all these magazines. Because why? Because I found an ancient arrow from a fucking Apache tribe or whatever was here long ago. The colors are still on it. They can ID it. It's fossilized. It's still sticking in a tree. And there it is. part of its identity with the tree. The tree is actually protecting it in some way. There it is. It doesn't want to be found. A tree is nothing but a vault of history. Ring after ring after ring of the tree tells you what went on that year. And now so this additional arrow sticking in the tree is what? More history. There it is. It's a vault of knowledge. And what do? We cut them down as fast as we can so we can let the Slims move in. Here comes the Slims, get my house. Here come the Slims, look at them coming. The Slims are going to behead you, you fucking fruit rotten motherfucker. The Slims are here. They don't care about trees. So I learn about this, the location of this damn arrow. And I know that happy days are here again. It's not made up. It's not a joke. It's not come from some fraud, some idiot, some anonymous email, something promised me the world. It's not. It's coming from a real person I have intercourse with, and we have some type of intimacy. And even in the littlest intimacy, even if you fuck a hobo or some chick sleeping behind a 7-Eleven, you still have some relationship with her, don't you? You're still connected with her somehow, and that's with you till the day you die. And I feel this with Running Flaps. Running Flaps knows her business. She told me where the thing is. So what do I do? I start packing my shit up, start leaving my room. There's no more fucking heroin. There's no more goddamn putting food coloring, Luden's cough drops, cherry, melting them down and putting them on ball sack. Chicks love that shit. All over her tongue. You're lozenging her throat and stuff. You're helping her. She can't come back to you years later and say, motherfucker, I got throat cancer, man. I got that disease, whatever it's called, the fucking disease. I got it that they're giving 12-year-old shots for. I got that in my throat. I'm a fucking kid. You don't have to worry about that, do you? Because you were telling her, look at man, I was lozenging your throat. You know what a lozenge is? I was lozenging your throat. Shut up! And you hang your fucking phone up. Big fucking phone, two bells. I still have that phone. That's still hooked into this house. I have that very phone. It's got two metal bells. They look brass colored. It's got a blackout exterior and a phone you slam down on top of it. I'd never change that. If I change it somehow, does that mean the quality of the caller has come up? These are high quality calls. These are not fucking people preying on you. If I change that, would that happen? No. It's still the same person that's calling you up anyways that wants something from you. Very few times would ever meet anyone that doesn't want something from you to take something from you. Very few, especially women. They're actually encouraged to rip you off. They look like a hero. So I load up all my shit. The Glock. I got my Luger, I got my peppermint schnapps with fucking in my coffee, I got my whiskey, I got my guns, I always carry a small 32 on my ankle, I got my Superman cape, I got all kinds of shit to help me find this arrow, this Indian arrowhead, and I can see myself like you do probably, you've done this, you see yourself in your new house, you see yourself in an apartment, you see yourself with some bitch and you're walking along tree-lined canals in fucking Paris, France, or some shit like that, or you see yourself walking around eating Gouda cheese, wow, look at this man, I think I'm going to have some fucking Egyptian or tea over there with the big tea leaves, I'm going to eat that shit, and you see yourself like that, I'm doing the same thing with regards to this Indian arrow, it's going to be worth a fortune. And I'm smiling. I can feel my serotonin has gone up. I can feel all my glands are pumping good, my renal glands and all that top notch. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get this. I'm going to be on these magazines. I won't have to make these recordings anymore because why? Because now the money's coming in. I'm on the cover of a magazine and I'm holding on to the arrow and people are looking at me thinking, what the fuck is this? You can't make money in arrow. He's got an arrow. Big deal. I got a shitload of it. It's not this arrow. It just isn't this arrow. This arrow is priceless. This arrow was fossilized. This arrow was shot by an Indian, an Apache, 250 years ago, whatever it was. And there it is. His heart was pure. His beliefs were pure. The family unit was whole and tight and concise. Every day was spent working for the whole man, and he was just good right through the bottom. And he was willing to kill you if you thought you were going to take it away or stop that in any way. You got to love that shit. So I load up the Argo Frontier. That's my six-wheel, 18-horsepower, all-terrain vehicle that I brought back. I recycled. I brought it back. I fixed the carburetor, added nitrous oxide. I bored out the pistons. I put bigger rings on it. I did a bunch of shit to it to make it better than it ever was. An Argo Frontier, especially in those days, were kind of dogs. They were slow and clunky. You thought you were in a river. You thought you were in a lake or a stream. You had big flaps on your balloon tires, and you thought, I'm going to scoot across that thing at 50 miles an hour. It's going to be incredible. It wasn't like that at all. It was more bullshit that they made you think it was in magazines and in articles and in advertisements. You thought, wow, look, that's going to be me until you got it. They move at 3 miles an hour in any lake. They get stuck all the time in mud and shit like that. It's hard to maintain. It's loud and noisy. At least the one I got, the Argo Frontier, it's way back. It's 1972 Frontier. It's way back there. I like working on old shit because it's easier to work on. Today you try to work on a car, forget about it. Gonna try to fucking fix the lower control arms, you're dead. You got a week? You got lunches and food being brought to you? You got medical supplies? That's what you need because you're going to be seriously injured, never get it out, and it'll never work the same. So I got my Argo Frontier all loaded to fuck up. And as I got it all loaded to loaded up, it's incredible. As I'm loading it up, ready to go, got my Superman cape on, but I got long underwear on the top and bottom. I got my underwear on, my heated socks on. I'm ready to go. I'm going to get this arrowhead, this arrow, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be a victor. I'm going to call whatever I have to call, National Geographic, the state, major museums. I'm going to tell them what I find, but I have to document it, picture after picture, video after video, all kinds of angles of it in a tree, and show them where it was in a tree. Now, you're supposed to leave that arrow in the tree. It has to be in the tree so they can verify, if you ever found this, that it actually has been in this tree that long. They check the surrounding areas of the arrowhead. They check the bark. They check the depth. They check the density of the arrow. They do exams and echograms and sonograms on the arrow. They check the feathering on the back of it, the fletching, to see if this is accurate. And that's what's going to happen. But I can't wait for all that. I don't give a shit. If I want that out now, say two people are out in the woods. They're out in the fucking woods, right? They're out in the woods, and they're out there fucking. Every chick takes a man out to the woods to fuck, to get them away from you, the voice of reason. So they get him out there, they suck his cock, they lick his balls, they make him think that it's everything's possible, they're a superhero, then they alienate you from all your friends when she finally marries him, and I know this from experience. They take him out in the woods. Now, what if some bitch is out in the woods and sees that, and while she's shitting, while she's throwing her maxi pad out in the woods, her tampon out in the woods, dumping all kinds of shit in the woods, which they do, she sees that arrow and she pulls it out. Man, it's over for me. They're too goddamn dumb to know what she just pulled out. $1 million arrow, man. She doesn't know anything like that, does she? I think about, I don't know what she would do with it. I was going to go somewhere else, but I didn't want to. Now, when I go out there, there's running flaps. I get out there, I drive about, I guess about 4.3 miles. The woods are endless, and some of the trees are so close that I can't drive the Argo Frontier behind them, so I have to go way out of my way to find openings in the trees to get to this location. When I get out there, and I look up in the tree, there's running flaps. I look up in the tree, we have this rendezvous, she doesn't have a watch. And I look up in the tree where she's pointing. Now, when she's pointing, there's hardly any canopy there, there's hardly any light, but some light gets through. When she's standing there, when she's pointing, it kind of freaked me out. It kind of looks spooky. A woman with a leather miniskirt on, and leather shoes, and a top that's made of leather, deer hide, I imagine, and these big goddamn jugs, and this black hair. It sort of was spooky. I thought, man, is running flaps for real? Is she a ghost? Am I nuts? But she's real. She's 100% real, but it looks so damn spooky. She's pointing up at the arrowhead, and while she's pointing up at the arrowhead, I take picture after picture. Then I look down below me, and I think, man, somebody was standing right here 200 years ago, 250 years ago. Maybe he was a short Indian, short little chunk, chopped off Indian. He couldn't reach the arrow. So he just stood there, looked up, couldn't reach it, and moved on his way. There he was standing there. The history of this location. This spot should be entirely roped off, and I start to pop a goddamn boner, man. I start to pop a gigantic rod, and that's a 15.5-pound filled with blood, and I'm in good shape so I can inflate it good. I don't know if you've ever done this at all. If you know how to find a little tree, I'm going to end it here because I'm going to have to continue this in the next recording, continue the story. If I remember to continue this story. If you know trees, and small trees, small little fledgling trees, bigger than that a little bit, I found one of these trees. They're small, but not so small that they don't move around in a windstorm or wind. Now, when I go out into the opening with running flaps, not complete clearing, there's a tree moving back and forth because of wind, moving east, west, north, south. It's moving all over the fucking place. I introduce running flaps to something that I really wouldn't tell you this because this is an invention of Norm Augustinus. I'm just elated. I'm just flowing with energies and enthusiasms. I'm overflowing. I'm chock full of fucking possibilities because of what I saw on the tree, and it looks 100% real. I just barely touched the arrow, the shaft of the arrow, and it sounded like rock. This would be real. I have to think this over. I have to think this shit over. Is this the time I can get rid of you? Is this the time I can drop all this shit? I'm so excited. So I find this little tree. I see running flaps. She's everything you want in a woman. Health, vitality, chock full of fucking eggs, and love, man. Love atop of love. I find this tree and I put a little stick to it. I learned this. You have to find a tree that has a good top to it that can be moved back and forth in the wind. And you have to find this tree near a stump. Now, preferably a stump 12 or 16 inches off the ground. Why do you want that? Because I lay running flaps down on the stump. She likes to fuck your correspondent. Your sister would like to fuck me. So would your mom like to fuck me. People make jokes like that. This isn't a joke. This is real. I've got it, man. You don't. I have it and you don't have it. I put running flaps on her back near a stump. I don't know how old this tree was. A couple hundred years old, maybe? I'm not sure. Gigantic. It's like a round bed. Like a luxe round bed. I was gobsmacked over the whole thing. I mean, for fortnight after fortnight, I've thought, is anything like this ever going to be possible? Is this real? And here it is right in front of me. So I'm going to reward running flaps with all fucking 15.5 pounds of my cock. Now, how do I do that? You got to find a branch that's about 10 or 12 feet long or so, maybe 15 feet long. And you have to attach that branch to the tree. I don't care how you do it. You attach it with leather wrappings. You take your shoelaces off and you attach one end of the tree to the real tree with a big upper canopy. And then you take the end of that tree and you put it in your bitch's cunt. She's laying on top the stump. Now what happens? You've made a sex machine, man. You're in a fucking woods, man, and you could do shit. You could conquer shit. You had abilities. You had things you could do that nobody else could do. She's laying on the stumps with these beautiful, gorgeous Apache legs with a slight brownness to them. And what do? I put one end of the 15-foot branch that's about the size of a large dildo, and the length of it is about 15 feet, but the end is about the size of a dildo, and I gently push it into running flaps of Apache cunt, and it takes it eagerly. It opens up and engulfs it. It makes a burping sound like it's pleased, like it's happy. That's what a cunt is. A cunt eats meat. It drips out juices because of the meat that's coming its way. If they sold bitches like this in commercials and shit, they'd be the loneliest fuckers in the world. But that's the reality of it. I attached the other end of the branch, the giant long dildo, to the tree because it was relatively windy. And then she held on to the stump and she understood. We spoke the international language of love, man. She understood what I was doing. She was holding onto the tree, the bark of it, thick bark. She put one arm, her hand on the right side, the other on the left side of the stump. Her legs were pulled back. I'm looking at this area and I say to myself, why? Why do fucking men get drawn into this? Why do they want this? What is it about what I'm looking at right now that's greater than anything on the planet? Why? I don't know why. There's her big Apache cunt. There's her big Apache asshole. There it is aimed at me. These big dilated dark brown eyes. Her lips were trembling. She trusted me, man. She trusted the mind of Norm Augustinus, the imagination of Norm Augustinus, the abilities of Norm Augustinus in any environment. I could be anywhere. You could drop me on an active volcano. I would live. And then the wind started moving this tree that I attached this other, a horizontal branch low down on the tree. It had to go equal to her cunt. So you got a horizontal branch and you got the full tree that moves easily in a windstorm. And when the wind started blowing the thing, the top of the tree, the canopy of the tree, the upper portion of the tree where the leaves are, my dildo, the 15-foot long dildo that I gently inserted into her fuckhole, it just started moving in and out of her cunt. That's what it sounded like going in and out of her fuckhole in combination with Apache moaning sounds. It was beyond fathomable. This was equal to almost finding the arrow. This is what I do to bitches who are especially special to me. Bitches that I believe have helped me on in life. I would do this to you if you were out in this area, but you can only be a size 3 or 5. I can't take a big, fat, goddamn, I just can't. Curbs and all that other bullshit and the attitude. I can't take any of that stuff. I will put one right between your fucking eyes. But if you're like running flaps, big flappy lips. I mean, I had to move them aside. They were sticking because they were so wet. The half of pancakes, each of her labia, I had to pull them apart because they were stuck together, glued from fucking loving juices coming out of that fuckhole. The trust she had for me was unfathomable, man. Every time the tree moved from the wind, the upper portion of the tree. When you're in thick canopy, there are no leaves low down on the tree. They grow at the top. But this was thin. This thing was thin. You have to get skilled at it. Find the right tree with the right amount of elasticity that will move when the wind moves it, and move your horizontal dildo that you attach to the lower portion of the tree with a shoelace or a leather strap or whatever you have, a wire, whatever you've got. And watch it go in and out of your lover's cunt as she lays atop that round bed, which is really just a gigantic stump long gone. And the possibilities that were in that stump, the weather, the storms, the things this tree's seen. It's evolving. It's pushing out the vibes of what it lived into her body that no one else could ever experience. It's going into her as this fucking tree limb goes in and out of her cunt. Man, it was something. You should have seen it, man. When I pulled that tree out, I said to myself, I could not live with this. But then I broke the end of the dildo off and I thought, what if I take this home? I frame it. What if I do that? What if I carry it around? What if I put it around my neck, or I carry it on my back or something in a special leather strap or something like that? It became too valuable to throw away. I watched her come again and again, man. The Apache that's so well hidden in there. There's a $50,000 reward for these people if you can get a real picture somewhere in Michigan. There's the rumor out that they're out there. If you can get flames, if you can get a teepee, something flickering away at night. I'd never give up running flaps. Motherfucker. I love her.
You've been listening to the one and only...
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually, and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder, eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower, 100-150 feet tall, brown bricks, tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down. We pop the corks in your toes. And all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange colored solution and replace the corks in your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in a $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend. Norm Augustinus. And instantly and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Angela, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving. Have you planned your Thanksgiving Day dinner menu yet? I hope you like this typewritten letter. I stumbled across this typewriter years ago. It was in the basement of an abandoned home in Detroit. It was lying atop a nearly full and very wet box of adult diapers. I fixed the typewriter up, and now I use it all the time. I found a used knotted-off condom with cum still in it, entwined throughout the keys of the typewriter. I'll bet a big, jugged cum slut a very long time ago was doing her homework on this typewriter, and a 6.5-foot-tall, big-dicked, colored dude crawled through her bedroom window, and they started fucking, and that's how the rubber got into the typewriter mechanism. They're probably both dead now. Angela, I was walking on the sidewalk near my house, and I nearly tripped over a plastic turkey. It was made to look like a turkey that you'd find on a dinner table on Thanksgiving Day. It was even on a plate. The plate was plastic, too. The plate and beautifully cooked bird were connected to each other. The whole thing was about a foot in diameter. It was basically a plastic prop you'd use for a TV show or movie. I put my hand inside the plastic turkey. Normally, you'd find the liver, gizzard, neck, and heart inside the turkey. I instead pulled out a pair of heavily soiled women's panties, a half-smoked doobie, and a tube of vaginal shrinking cream. The elastic band of the panty was torn clean off, and the panty was covered in dried cum stains. For clarity, I'll call them cum panties. The cum panties had a hole in the back of the panty where the woman's asshole would be situated. I think the woman that owned the panty took a big dick up her dirt hole while she was wearing her underpants on Thanksgiving Day. If you ever visit, I'll show you the plastic turkey, cum panty, and tube of vaginal shrinking cream. There's a pubic hair knotted around the threads of the screw cap on the shrinking cream. The cum panty woman probably had a huge snatch, and she was always using the cream hoping to tighten her fuck hole. Everyone knows big cunts are scary. I gotta go. I've got shit to do. Write me back if and when you can. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the turkey judging contest held next door to the Chamber of Commerce building off Main Street. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she dropped the roll of tickets she was selling for a chance to win $500 for the Chamber of Commerce evening drawing, and she crawled into the giant 50-foot turkey inflatable. While your big-titted little sister was inside the giant turkey, she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she laid on her back inside the enormous, eye-catching turkey, and she pulled back her gorgeous legs. When I crawled into the Godzilla-sized turkey, your big-titted little sister's knees were touching her ears. Her pussy and asshole were aimed directly at me. So I ate out your big-titted little sister, and I gave her a rim job. While I was rimming your big-titted little sister, a woman crawled into the giant air-inflated turkey, and she said,
I came to this stupid event hoping that I could win the $500 drawing and restart my life. I fled London. My son was a fruit. And one day there was a knock on our door. When my son opened the door, a Muslim, or Slim as we call them back home, took his head off by swinging a 1-meter-long, very sharp sword through his neck. A good eating out in combination with an American rim job would help me get over my problems. Please, all I'm asking you to do is love me. I'm hanging on by a thread. As a thank you, I'll make an exact replica of your cunt, jugs, cock and balls out of paper mache. I've got my paper mache kit in my purse. Rim me and eat me out now.
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, right now, we're selling 1 foot in diameter, realistic plastic turkeys. I'm talking about golden brown turkeys that are sitting on large holiday plates. It's a one-piece plastic unit that looks good enough to eat. And better still, each turkey is packed with a dozen pairs of soiled women's cum panties that were excavated from the grounds of Max Yasker's Dairy Farm in Bethel, Central New York. Girls, you probably know this location as the Woodstock Music Festival. Held in 1969, our large earth-moving machines dug down to a depth of 6 feet to recover these cum panties. And now we've got them, and they're inside these lovely plastic turkeys. Simply situate the plastic turkey somewhere in your house for your Thanksgiving Day feast and watch the fun begin. Your male guest will go nuts when they sniff out these vintage cum panties extracted from the Woodstock grounds in 1969. Honey, your guests don't care about pumpkin pie and cranberry sauce. They dig the stench of old hippie pussy that has been deeply driven into the cotton ventilated panels of these rare cum panties. Come on up to the counter right now and get yourself a plastic turkey chock full of these cum panties. Only $69.95. On a side note, my assistant, Mandy Phelps, has just shit onto the pile of cardboard Thanksgiving decorations that were going to be hung throughout this store. There are pictures of pumpkin pie, cooked turkeys, corn on the cob, cartoon illustrations of pilgrims wearing big buckled shoes, and more. Mandy's job was to tape a 5-foot-long string onto each of these images and hang them from the ceilings on every floor of this department store. According to Miss Phelps, one of the images she was slated to hang looked like an enormous rock-hard glistening dick that had just been extracted from a wet, undulating, hungry pussy. Mandy has irritable bowel syndrome, and whenever she gets turned on, her asshole dilates and she shits!
The corn on the cob I was supposed to hang looked exactly like the black men's cocks I rode when I pulled a train in my parents' basement in 2015. The turkey leg images I was supposed to hang looked just like the turkey legs I fucked when I worked at a butcher shop. The dude wearing the buckled shoes looked like the Amish dude I fucked when I was buying pads in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania while I was on a college field trip. I can't stop shitting and jamming things into my meat-starved cunt. I'll kill all of you cocksuckers.
Attention maintenance department, please bring latex gloves, mops, Comet cleanser, and spray cans full of holiday pine air scent to the main counter on the first floor. This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
When you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.